In this portion of scripture, it is no question that our God is a covenant-keeping God who keeps his word unto his people. Many people in this modern world will follow crowds and will tend to follow the public opinion of the time rather than standing upon the promises of God. Many Christians can even fall into that trap of following feelings and emotions rather than standing on the promises of God with his covenant. Well, from age to age, our mighty God has made a covenants with his people. He has made covenants with his people and assuring them that he will do exactly what he has promised to do. And friend, we must stand even here tonight upon the promises of God. We don't stand upon the preacher's opinion. We don't stand upon what the church may quote in its doorway. But friend, we quote scripture and stand upon God's mighty word here tonight. And friend, we must understand that our God is truly a covenant-keeping God, as we know right off the bat in Genesis. In Genesis, right off the bat, God makes a covenant. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, notice what it says here. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. And this is God speaking to Abraham here. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He goes on to say in verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, friend, that's very significant, because aren't we from the seed of Abraham here tonight? And the answer is yes. The friend, that promise belongs to us as well. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, God, who sought out Abraham, made a covenant with him that he would make his seed great among the nations. And this promise did not fade away. Friend, that God, you must understand that the covenant of God, it never fades away. As remember, as the words of Jesus said, that my word is eternal, that heaven and earth may pass away, but my word, it says, are eternal. The final word shall stand even until the latter end of the earth. And friend, we must stand firmly, firmly here tonight, trusting in our God as a covenant-keeping God. As we know, the promise did not fade away, but was passed on from generation to generation. Even the promise that they would possess the promised land. And friend, God assured them that one day they would see that great land of milk and honey. And friend, it might have took some time, but we know eventually that the Lord did give them the land. And after the land was to be divided, Caleb goes on to make a personal request, as we read in chapter 14, as he was making a personal request to Joshua. As he states in verses 6 to 11, as we read there, and then he makes his statement. And friend, I want you to know the statement that Caleb makes. Look what he says here. Look what he says here in verse 12. Well, I'll just read it to you here in verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Well, he's not being ignorant, friends, but he's claiming the promise to him. He's claiming what God promised him through Moses, that he was to be the inheritor of Hebron. Notice what it says here. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. And if so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. What a warrior that Caleb was, standing upon the promises of God and not flinching to the public opinion of his time. As we know, there was much rebellion as he talks about the wilderness and those that rebelled against God, but he claimed his promise that I have wholly followed the Lord. And after the land was to be divided, he goes on, and in this context, Caleb is an old man. He's at 85 years old. He's telling a story. He's telling a story like an elder of the faith would, as you met many of those in your own life, those who have been saved for many years, those that have been in the trenches, whether it is a elderly minister or an elderly Christian. Well, they have many stories to tell upon how the Lord truly has come through for them. And friend, that is a very important thing, even for the church, to have people like that, that can testify of a God who has kept his word. And friend, Caleb is doing that here tonight. And in this context, Caleb is an old man at the age of 85 years old. But even in his old age, he still knew and believed the Lord God of hosts was with him. And friend, despite his old age, he did not fear because of his old age, because he still knew that the Lord of God, the Lord God of hosts was with him and was able to drive out the enemy. And he was able to claim Hebron that was promised to him. And friend, what trust did Caleb have in the Lord? And in this text, it is hard not to notice. Friend, we cannot not notice the faith of Caleb. Caleb was a character that believed in the promise of God through Moses to claim his inheritance because of his faith and obedience to God. And that's the teaching of the Holy Ghost here tonight, friend. Let me tell you, it's not be like Caleb. Friend, there's many things we can learn from Caleb. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not telling you to be like anyone. I'm telling you to be yourself. But there are things we can learn from Caleb. And friend, it is truly that his faith and obedience to God was great. And friend, God does not want your respect, but he wants your faith and he wants your obedience and he wants you to obey him. As he said in his word, we know that this is the whole duty of man, to fear God and to keep his commandments indeed. And this text is hard not to notice as we went through that Caleb and his character believed in the promise of God through Moses and his claim. As Caleb is described as a man, as we read 3-4 times as it comes up here, he was a man who wholly followed the Lord. Notice as it comes up 3-4 times, as it comes up in verse 14, as it says here in the end of the verse, because that he wholly followed the Lord. I want you to remember that, because that comes up a couple more times. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to know that here, is that this was truly a man that committed himself. He was in 100% commitment to serve the Lord. And friend, that's a great thing that when you find someone who is wholly following the Lord. And friend, there is great blessing in that, for the Lord does not want you to waver in your faith, but he wants you to wholly follow him indeed. And here, showing his great courage, as Joshua 14, verse 7 states, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. And his courage is seen that when he spake courageously with his report, for friend, we know that the report wasn't good from the other Israelites, for they said, there's giants over there, great in stature. Surely they will smite us. But friends, do you have giants of opposition in your life? The Anakims, they were giants of the land. But here is a man, Caleb, as he's looking at this great army, and he's saying, they're as of bread. That was his direct response. They're as of bread, because he knew that if God be for me, then who could be against me? And what a man, his courage is seen when he spoke courageously with his report after, when he sent out to spy out the scope, the land of Canaan, in Numbers chapter 13, as he states, for we are well able to overcome it. For we are well able to overcome it. And you see here his courage, despite the giants of the land, despite the giants of the opposition. It took great courage for him to report a good report. And friend, it takes courage. It takes courage to approach the sinner and give him the gospel message. It takes courage to proclaim Christ to the lost. It takes courage to proclaim God's word in this perishing world. But friend, we know here that God gives the courage. God gave Caleb the courage to give this good report, for he knew that God was for him. For we are well able to overcome it, despite the giants of the land, for we know that he gave a good report to Moses upon his return, as sincere, faithful depiction of the land as it appeared to him. And my first point I want to bring to your attention here tonight is that Caleb's great faith by wholly following the Lord. Caleb's great faith by wholly following the Lord. Caleb followed the Lord with a sincere heart. And friend, you must understand that Caleb did not waver in his faith, but he sincerely, genuinely, with all his heart and soul, trusted in the Lord. And my friend, as we know, as unbelief does creep in, a great danger for the Christian, we begin to fade in the promises of God. We begin to fade away and we begin to lose trust. And we begin not to wholly follow the Lord anymore. It becomes to be a half-fast thing. It is no longer a priority in our lives, but we're not truly wholly following the Lord. And maybe that's you here tonight. And maybe you feel that you're not wholly following the Lord like you should be. You feel maybe downcast or downburdened. But I tell you, friend, hear God's word here tonight, for he will speak to you and he will give you that courage and that uplifting of your spirit to wholly follow him. Caleb followed the Lord with a sincere heart. Caleb was not a hypocrite. He truly practiced what he preached. His actions spoke exactly to what his words said. For as you can say, well, his words lined up with his actions. Caleb wasn't a man who was all talk, but he practiced what he preached. And he truly believed with a sincere heart when he gave his good report. He truly believed that God is truly able to overcome these giants of the land. Well, if God said it, then I believe it. And Caleb sincerely believed God, not just with a blind faith. Friend, many churches talk about a blind faith as you just make a leap into the dark without trusting in anything. Well, that's not faith, friends. That's not faith. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches of a faith that is bound, a faith that is bound on the promises. As we pray, we don't pray with a blind faith, but we pray in promises of God, the covenant-keeping God, as we bring up the promises of God, having faith that God will do what he says. And he always does what he says, for God is not a man, as we know, that he should lie. And if God said it, well, Caleb believed it sincerely because and believed God, not just with mere profession of the mouth, but also with action. He believed with a sincere heart. And notice the words in Joshua chapter 14, verse 7, as it states here, as it was in mine heart, as it was in mine heart, this expression shows with great sincerity of heart. He's telling you where it's coming from, for it came from his heart. He's saying it's something that I cannot get out, but as it was in mine own heart. This expression shows the great sincerity of heart. Well, are you walking with the Lord with sincerity of heart? And the answer is many are not. And many do not walk with sincerity of heart, but many live just on the mere profession that they made. They just live on mere talking the lingo. They can talk the lingo, but they don't walk the walk. Their actions do not show what their mere profession is. And what a great teaching this is, that friends, that whatever we do preach, and preachers especially, even myself, that we always must practice what we preach. We cannot be hypocrites of the word, but we truly must practice what we preach from the heart. And it truly must be a sincerity from the heart, and not just a mere going through the motions. And here we must have a sincerity of heart when following the Lord. And notice here that Caleb followed the Lord by trusting in God's promise. And friend, he didn't trust in his emotions, as many did as they rebelled against God. They trusted in their own arm of strength. But we see the expression being used, the Lord spake. And friend, may your ears perk up every time in scripture when you hear those words, the Lord spake. And friend, as the Lord is communicating his word to you here tonight, the first time we see this uniting Joshua with himself as a recipient of the promise, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said concerning me. Notice what Caleb said here. Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said. That the Lord said. He's taking the promise of God and he's claiming his promise. And friend, so must you claim his promise here tonight. Thou knowest the thing the Lord said concerning me and thee. But the other four times Caleb claims the promise. Joshua 14 verse 9 of God to himself, showing his confidence and trust in the promise of God. Give me this mountain. Friend, that was promised to him. And so much is the promise of God promised to you, friend, here tonight, that he's promised you eternal life. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that's a promise. Well, that's a promise from Christ himself when he said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he will give to those who believe eternal life. But friend, we must know to stand on the promises of God, not mere feeling, not just a mere profession, not just mere going through the motions of twice on a Sunday, once on a Wednesday night, for that doesn't save you. But we know, as Christ came to save, as we stand on the promises of God. And friend, just as Caleb, as he claimed the promise, and friend, if you are a Christian, then the covenant promise belongs to you, because as we noted in our introduction, for we are all the seed of Abraham, I will be their God and they will be my people. What a glorious thing it is. What a glorious thing it is that God has made a covenant with his people, made with blood, knowing that I will be their God and they will be my people. Remember how Caleb's life was preserved in the wilderness when God promised to preserve him. When Caleb has seen death, a friend, you must know that Caleb has seen great death. Caleb did not always have it easy. His life was very hard. As a matter of fact, most of the time the circumstances were against him, but he had God for him. He is a testament. He is a testament to what it is to have God for you in your life as he looks at the giants of the land. And friend, that you can look at the giants of life in your life, the giants of opposition, and you too, friend, can claim the promise of God that if God be for you, then who can be against you? But he had God for him. And years ago in Numbers chapter 14, as we know the prior reading in Numbers chapter 14, when the people rebelled against God and wanted to return to Egypt. Here he's witnessing the rebelling against God, as stated in Numbers chapter 14, verse 14. Numbers chapter 14, verse 4. And they said one to another, I'll read it to you here. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Well, they're not trusting in the promise because God promised them the promised land. He made a covenant and assured them that he would give it to them. But here they begin to trust in their own arm of flesh. And the promise of God begins to fade away, well, because of their unbelief. May the Lord guard you in your unbelief. And what a danger it is that unbelief, once it sets in the soul, as here, as God has delivered them out of Egypt, well, here they are wanting them to go back under the bondage of the Egyptians. And you see, that's what happens when unbelief sets in. What a danger it is, friend, when unbelief begins to creep into the soul. But it was again Caleb that through his belief in the promises of God and through his faith and obedience to God and said, notice what he says here, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. fear them not. And what a word that is, friend, that when he's proclaiming to them that the Lord is with us. And friend, I tell you, we may be few in number here tonight. We may have all the circumstances against us, but I tell you, friend, well, the Lord is truly with us here tonight. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And friend, we might have much difficulty here tonight, but all in all, the Lord is with us. And friend, that belongs to us as well. It belongs to the true church of Christ, that the Lord has promised to build his church, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And you see what it is here, friend, tonight, to trust in the promises of God and to claim them to your own soul, that what God has said, well, he surely will do. And the Holy Ghost's teaching is that through faith and obedience to God, well, there is always victory. And friend, in your life, if you have faith and obedience to God, you will always have the victory, despite the giants of opposition, despite the giants of your life. Well, God will make them as bread for you here, even tonight. With your faith and obedience to him, God will protect his people. And look what happens when the people of Israel trust in their own strength. Friend, I want to bring to your attention, look what happens when the people of Israel trust in their own strength and they push God aside. Look what happens to them, as they say here in Numbers chapter 14, verse 42. Look what happens here. I'll just read it to you. Go not up. This is them stating, go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. This is them talking. This is Caleb talking to them, telling them that the Lord is not among you, that if you go in your own strength, that you will get killed by the enemy. As it goes on to say in verse 43, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword. He's telling them what's going to happen. Because ye are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. But as we know, as their unbelief sets in, and what a dangerous thing it is, friend, when unbelief does set in. In verse 44, in Numbers 14, verse 44, but they presume to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them. They were smote because they did not go. They did not go with the Lord's strength, but they went with their own accord. And friend, that's what happens, you see. That's what happens when you live this life on your own accord. It is utter failure. It is utter failure and destruction. And what a great thing it is to have God here tonight. And what a scary thought it would be to those that do not have the Lord in their own lives, that are doing everything on their own accord, that they push God aside. And friend, what a dangerous thing it is, as we know here in this account. And then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill, and smote them. It is always utter and total defeat for the people of God when they go in on their own strength. How much more then should the people of God trust in the promises of God, that God go before them? We are living in a time that many Christians have lost faith in the promises of God due to the circumstances of life. But do you have giants of opposition in your life? Well, Caleb did. Caleb had many giants of opposition, literally speaking, as he did fight those that were great in stature, literal giants, but he had many giants of his life, but he calls them as bread. Well, he calls them as bread because he knew that what is the giants of opposition compared to my God? And friend, that was the right response, you see. That was truly the right response. They are as of bread. They are as of bread. Because Caleb did, he had the Amalekites, the giants of the land, but he calls them as bread because he looked not through his own strength. For if he did, then they would truly be giants. But again, he knew that God was with him. And friend, again, what it is to have God for you. What it is to have God for you. Are you trusting in the promises of God here tonight? Then you can claim your promise of God in your own heart. Because can you claim your eternal life? For God has promised it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And friend, that belongs to you. You claim your promise as Caleb did. Claimed his promise to Hebron. Give me this mountain, he said. And friend, he claimed this promise that was promised to him. And so it is promised to you here tonight. And Caleb's help, as we get to point two here, I want to draw to your attention Caleb's help and preservation by God. Caleb's strength came from the Lord. I don't want you to think that Caleb was some supernatural character. Caleb's strength came from the Lord. And in Joshua chapter 14, verse 10 to 11, we see the words, "Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive." Well, he's giving credit to where it's due. "Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Caleb, who has been known for his great strength, faith, and courage," he points to God. He's pointing to God, and he's pointing to him and saying, "The Lord hath kept me alive." He's giving God the glory, and he's showing that it is to God be the glory. As we sang there, "To God be the glory, great things hath he done." And when we look at Caleb, and learn from his great faith, it must not be forgotten that God Almighty had his hand upon him. The Lord truly has kept him alive. And remember the others who died in the wilderness. Why was Caleb's life preserved? Why was Caleb sought out of those who perished? Well, because of God Almighty's hand upon him. The others died because of their sin, but because of the prevailing grace of God in Caleb's life, he was preserved. Remember then the great verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." In our Christian lives, we ought to continually praise God for his continual hand upon us. And we know that everything we owe is to our Lord and Savior. Caleb knew that very well. And notice, even as the hymn writer's great words, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow." And we know that Caleb's patience by God's word, that Caleb did have patience by God's word. In Joshua 14, verse 10, well, we see the words, these 40 and 5 years, Caleb, by wholly following the Lord, remained faithful to his word by waiting. Even while they were wandering in the wilderness, Caleb held the promise patiently, knowing that one day it will come to pass. He didn't know how long, but he knew that if God promised it, then this promise was spoken by the Lord to Moses, and that this was all the way back in the second year after coming out of Egypt. But he knew that the promise were soon to be fulfilled. And friends, as believers, we must have patience and wait upon God to fulfill his promises. Remember, when Christ came on this earth, he was already preaching of his second coming. And no one knows the time nor the hour, but we trust and stand upon his promise that, well, he is coming. There is a time which Christ will return to this earth, and we trust upon his promise, knowing that some time and some place the Lord will return. As it says in the scripture, that no man knows the time nor the hour, but we stand upon the promise of God that he is coming again, despite the length of time. And friend, I want to tell you that time does not diminish the promise, for time is only time, but does not affect the promise of God. If God has promised it, it doesn't matter whether 100 years would go through or 1,000 years, his promise is still good. The promise still remains in effect. And we know here, as Caleb's faith was rewarded for trusting in God, Caleb's reward is given because of his belief in the Lord. And notice these words here of Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, this hill of Judea where Hebron was inhabited, the giants called the Anakims that dwelt in this location. But with Caleb's confidence and faith in the Lord, is so be the Lord will be with me. And this is a great thing, friend, as he's again in the latter years of his life. Again, he is so, as he says here, is so be the Lord will be with me. He without a doubt knew the presence of God with him, having no dependence upon his own arm of flesh, but wholly following the Lord. Even unto his reward, as he got his mountain, Caleb's expectation to be given by the land, by his confidence in God, I shall be able to drive them out, as he said. I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. What great confidence that Caleb had in the Lord to drive out the great giants in the land out of their cities of the mountain, wherever they occupied, is showing his great confidence in God to give him the victory. And friend, do you, Christian, have any great enemies in your life that are giants? Maybe it's the giant of despair. Maybe it's the giant of despair that's gnawing upon you, that keeps you sorrowful and full of oppression. Maybe it's some giant sin that has been bothering you for a while, that has dominion over your life. But remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And friend, much more did grace do for us here tonight, and much more did grace do for Caleb when he was facing the giants of his time. Well, although the giants were great, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And grace abounded much more in Caleb's life. And you are able, just like Caleb, to defeat the giants of your life. And by the grace of God, those promises belong to you. So why fret, friend? I tell you here tonight, so why fret? Why fret because of your despair or whatever you're going through? Whatever you're going through, I tell you, why fret? Claim your promise here tonight, in which God has given unto you, and you surely will see. And you surely will see, as God promised to Caleb, give me this mountain. As you truly can be like Caleb, and you too, through your faith and obedience, will see, and you'll see that God truly will give you the victory even here tonight. And to conclude all things, as we come to our conclusion, it is without a doubt that Caleb was blessed greatly because he wholly followed the Lord, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. It was because of his faith and obedience to God. And Hebron was a symbol of a fellowship and communion in the spiritual sense, was a desirable place for all the people of God, just like Hebron was for Caleb. Caleb built his life upon the solid rock of God's almighty promise. And here, despite the circumstances of his life, despite the giants of his life, and all that he saw, and all that he saw towards the rebellion to God and those that perished, as Caleb saw many, thousands did he see perish because of their rebellion to God. But yet, here is a man that kept going forward, knowing that God was with him. Five times in Caleb's speech do we see him refer to the word which the Lord spake. Five times did he refer to what the Lord hath said. And friend, I refer to it to you, that the Lord had spake to us here. He spake to us here tonight through his word. And the teaching of the Holy Ghost can show us that the word of promise to Caleb dealt with two major things: his life preserved and his possession of the land, as it states, whereunto he went. In Numbers, years of hard going, and a man of Caleb grasping God's word to the end of his life with all his might unto his old age. And a hard going the man Caleb, which he kept his word hid in his heart. As it says in the scripture, he hid the word of God in his heart. And that's where his strength came from, which was God's word that was to bring him victory over his enemies. And here we know it brought down the giants of his time, that we may faithfully and wholly follow Christ, even until the end of time, when he does come again. And friend, if you're not saved here tonight, maybe you're like those who were wandering in the wilderness, trusting in their own arm of flesh without direction. And you see, friend, the world does not have direction. The world goes to and fro. But ultimately, friend, I tell you, there is no direction with this world. Remember, many perished because they rebelled against God and went in their own strength. And if you are weary from the wanderings of this life, maybe you are weary from sin. You are weary from sin. Then I bid you to come. Then I bid you to come with all my heart and soul to the Savior, Jesus Christ, who in his own words has promised and said to those who are heavy laden, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And friend, if you are wandering in the wilderness, I pray to you that you will go to Christ, that you will go to him, for he will, as he states in his word, give you a rest. And just as that hymn we sang this morning, a great hymn, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon for you and for me. And may the Lord bless his message to our hearts, and may we, like Caleb, continue through our faith and obedience to wholly follow the Lord with all our hearts and soul, despite the giants of our time. And